And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. I'm glad that you decided to wake up and tune in to me this morning. This program, I could take this in a whole bunch of different ways, but let me just kind of share with you some of the things that I'm reading and studying. And so I hope, well, first and foremost, if you believe that God Himself has designed the body to heal itself, and this is a program for you. In the book of Hosea, it says what? It says, "My people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge." And I believe the next verse says, "Because you have rejected knowledge." Essentially, that may be a paraphrase. That's one of my favorite things about Daniel. When you read in Daniel chapter 1, it says specifically that Daniel had an aptitude for learning. It does not say that he was arrogant, that he was a know-it-all. No, he was willing to learn. That's one of the reasons why you may not be sick right now, but you know, time and age has a way of catching all of us. Whatever you experience right now in your youth, beauty, great radiant health, well, if you just look around at people that are a little bit older than you, you're going to find out real quick that people begin to accumulate more and more problems. So it's up to you to learn. What do you do to help yourself? And so what I want to do is I want to share a little bit of information. And this I thought was interesting right here. And I'm not going to read all this stuff. The amount of information is just literally overwhelming. So we have to just pick and choose what's going to be a good starting point. There's a name of a mushroom called Mashima mushrooms. And maybe you haven't heard the word Mashima, but if you break it down, it literally means women's island. Women's island. So I'm thinking, what would this mushroom be good for? Would it be good for men or for women? Well, maybe it is good for men, but we're going to talk about women for starters. Mashima literally means woman's island, and it's a mushroom that grows just naturally on these mulberry trees on an island in southwest Japan. I have read that Mashima has been used in traditional medicine if you're from Korea or from China, obviously from Japan, and even other Asian countries for various conditions. But what I find intriguing is this mushroom made all the way over to Indiana University. And I thought to myself, what are researchers and physicians at Indiana University doing with this mushroom? Well, researchers from Indiana University found that an extract of Mashima, which you got to understand how this works, folks, they don't want to use a whole mushroom. What they want is they want an extract, and they want to try to isolate one compound for the express purpose of trying to patent it or trademark it or copyright it, whatever you do with a drug, so they can claim it as their namesake, and so they can charge huge profits, which you know as well as I do. You can go into the store and buy mushrooms anytime you want, and they're cheap. But that's not what medicine wants. Medicine wants literally the most profitable, high-dollar remedies they can provide. You probably think I'm making that up. Anyway, so they found this extract of the Mashima mushrooms. It suppresses the growth and the invasive behavior of breast cancer cells. Now, I thought to myself, how could this be useful? Well, there may be many women listening, or even if the woman with breast cancer that's spreading throughout the breast and the body is not listening, you may know her, and you want to write down the term Mashima mushroom. Let me see right here. Oh, this is one of the stories I read about. You know, I know this is not going to sound scientific, but I still dig this stuff. There was a woman that had she had breast cancer. From what I can tell, she was in her early 30s, and she had been suffering from just really, really severe, significant pain in her left breast due to a tumor the size of a tennis ball that had attached to her rib, and so they had to remove her left breast. Well, after the surgical procedure for this breast cancer, This woman just had incredible, intense pain that wouldn't go away. Isn't that discouraging when you have such horrible, horrific pain? It won't resolve and clear up, even though you're offered all the different drugs that are narcotics to kill the pain. Well, someone had told her that the Mashima mushroom was very, very good. At removing the pain and the tumor. I totally botched the story. I'm sorry. They removed the rib, but not the tumor. But hey, the story goes on to say that after just 2 months of this lady starting to take the Mashima mushroom, the tumor completely disappeared. Now, I am not trying to overpromise anything to you. I'm just trying to tell you the story. You can look it up for yourself. But isn't that interesting? You know, one of the things that really intrigues me about this, if you ever hear the word immunotherapy, that's just kind of a broad idea that what can we do to help the human body help itself? Well, isn't that what you want? Yeah. Okay. I found some for men right here. This one, just hear what this is. It's what's the name of the study? Okay, here it is right here. The title of the article is Mushroom Lowers PSA in Prostate Cancer in Men. I'm sorry, ladies, but if you're not a man, this has nothing to do with you because you don't have a prostate. I'm just joking about that. Okay, researchers have found that a mushroom called agaricus, it boosts a chemical called anti-cancer cytokines. This is something that your immune system makes. It does it to help you. So the name of the mushroom is called Agaricus bisporus, which is referred to as the white button mushroom. That's right. When you go to the produce section at the store and you're on the outside where the open refrigerators are, that styrofoam box with the cellophane on top of it or saran wrap, that would be the white button mushroom. That's what you're looking for. So these are just the common mushrooms that are found at your supermarket. Most of the salads and dishes where they have these white mushrooms kind of cut up. This is the most prolifically grown commercial mushroom in America right now. Okay, here we go. Now that you know what we're talking about. Researchers at the Beckham Research Institute, they tested 36 men. All of them were suffering with prostate cancer. That means 100%. So here's what they did. The test subjects, they started out with 8 grams a day of that mushroom called the Agaricus bisporus, which is the white button mushroom, or a button mushroom. Sometimes they're called baby bellas. So they started them off with 8 grams per day. Now, I need to read if that was a normal fluid-filled weight or dehydrate is what I meant to say. I don't know the answer to that. I'll have to look it up. So they started these men off with prostate cancer 8 grams a day, and then they tried to increase the dose up to maybe 14 grams a day of this mushroom extract. The study goes on to say the therapy was given for 3 months. Now listen to this right here. Over a third of the patients, or 36% out of 36 men, they all experienced reductions in their PSA levels during their 3-month period. That is, PSA levels were below the levels they had at the beginning of the study. That's pretty good. Some of the patients experienced what the researchers called a complete response. That means their PSA levels went down so far that the PSA levels were undetectable. That means, are you kidding me? It was probably at 25 and now it's at 0, or so low it was completely undetectable. One person, they followed up for 30 months, and his PSA levels were undetectable for 30 months, another patient for 49 months. Indeed, those who experienced a complete response or a partial response, they also saw this increased immune strength. Now, I have read before in different regions of Japan where they eat mushrooms as part of their daily fare. You know, they go into the forest or out into the woods or out in nature, and they just harvest these and they eat them. It's just a way of life. Where the mushrooms are eaten the most, they absolutely have the lowest breast cancer. And whatever women have in breast cancer, you know, men are going to have with prostate cancer. Okay. If you'd like to join me on the radio this morning, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. If not, I've got another topic that I want to cover here. And let me see if I can get to it pretty quick here. This one. Now, you know that we're just right there where everybody's going to be exposed to some type of upper respiratory tract infection. So let me share this with you right here. You've heard of a plant. And here's what I want to suggest to you. If you get this upper respiratory tract infection, most likely that's going to be viral in nature. So many people think that they just have to go to the emergency room or go to the doctor, demand an antibiotic because it's culturally acceptable. They think if they take that, that's going to be the solution. Well, if it's virus, most likely not. And let's just face it, we are completely losing the war when it comes to trying to kill off every germ with an antibiotic. I think I shared with you last week, one of the studies I read said, if you want to contract a bacterial infection that never goes away and can't be defeated with antibiotics, then go to the hospital bathroom. That is the number one location where you can pick up some type of a germ that can be extremely difficult to get over it. I know that you want to go visit loved ones in the hospital. Well, wear a mask and rubber gloves and don't touch anything, especially yourself. Do not put your hand on the bathroom door and then put your finger in your nose. Do not do that. Because this is where we have the most wicked antibiotic-resistant infections of all time. So here's a study right here. There is a plant called an elderberry. I think its scientific name is Sambucus. That sounds kind of cool, doesn't it? There were 60 patients in the study aged 18 to 54. Man, that person that's 54 sounds super old. They were suffering from influenza, which is the flu, for 48 hours or less. In order to be in the study, you had to have the flu for 2 days or less to be included. So they were enrolled in a randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled study just for the effectiveness of one substance or one remedy. It's called elderberry syrup. If you have not tried elderberry syrup, you may not want to because it may be too delicious and you might decide that you like this medicine. This is usually the one medicine people don't complain about is elderberry syrup. They go, you know what, Dr. Morgan, I think I can get used to that one. Participants received 1/2 ounce, that's it, of elderberry syrup or a placebo for 5 days. That's pitiful little, if you ask me. Always think in terms of if you're sick and you come down with some type of a bug, then you need to kind of go on the attack and be pretty aggressive. But that's all they gave them, was just 1/2 ounce of elderberry syrup for 5 days. Okay? You're with me. They had influenza or the flu, which is bad enough, right? Symptoms were relieved on an average of 4 days earlier in the elderberry group. I don't know if you know what that means, folks. There's nobody in their right mind that says, hey, Dr. Morgan, do not help me with my flu. I really want to experience laying in bed, feeling miserable, my whole body hurts, I'm exhausted, all I want to do is lay there, I've got a headache. But I'd like to stay in bed 4 days longer. I'll skip the 1/2 ounce of the elderberry syrup. That's it. I can tell you what I would say. I would change the study right here. I would probably give 1 ounce 4 times a day. Anything to help nudge the immune system toward a much better response. You may not realize this, but God has given you an immune system. And these cells are designed to protect you and to keep you safe from harm. And sometimes, well, I don't know if you've heard this before, but elderberries were probably there in the Garden of Eden. I really don't know. I'm just guessing. But whatever day God created all the plants and the herbs and the living vegetation, well, elderberries were there. So 4 days earlier, let me see right here. Here's another one right here. Sambucol, which is a product that contains elderberries, in a placebo-controlled double-blind study, it was used to treat a group of individuals in Panama during a massive influenza epidemic. Those using the elderberry extract experienced significant improvement in symptoms, including fever, in 2 days. A complete cure was recorded for most within 2 to 3 days. Let me see. Would you like to have the flu completely resolved in 2 to 3 days instead of letting the sucker drag on for 2 weeks? Haven't you ever heard of somebody when they get sick with the flu? For 2 to 3 weeks, they are down and they can't get back and go to work? That's just incredible, isn't it? Good morning and welcome to the program. Aha, I caught you off guard.
Hello?
Yes, turn your radio off.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Oh, hey, I listen to your program every time I get a chance, and I've been wanting to ask you a question. I've been diagnosed by the dermatologist with I think they call it pigmented purpura dermatosis, or Schomburg's disease. It's a rash on my legs.
What does it look like?
Well, it just looks like a red, blotchy skin. It doesn't swell, and it doesn't itch. It just looks red.
How long has it been there?
About 6 years. It comes and go. It gets worse, and it gets better. And the only thing that has helped any at all is an injection of steroids in my hip, and that helps for about 3 months. And any kind of topicals, creams and lotions and steroid creams don't seem to make any difference at all.
Only the injection.
Yeah, and I can't live on steroids all the time.
No, you sure can't.
It's not painful. It doesn't itch. But it looks awful. I'm 79 years old, and so I'm not really worried about the looks.
Okay.
But it's just kind of people look at it. I mean, if I go barefooted or show my legs,
is it on your lower leg?
It started on my ankles, and it gradually went up to my knees, and then on up to my thighs, and now it's going down onto my feet, even around the arches of my feet.
Do you remember any significant event that happened in your life a little bit more than 6 years ago that may have preceded this? Did you get any type of foodborne illness, like ptomaine poisoning from a taco stand or anything like that?
No, not that I know of. I mean,
did you have any bad reaction to a plant out in the forest, like poison ivy, and then it kind of showed up after that?
No, not really.
Have you always had just clear, clean skin that's been able to resist rashes in the past, or were you born with eczema or psoriasis?
No, I've never had skin problems before, but I was a redhead with freckles, and I get sunburned.
Oh, well, see, that explains your fiery temper that you have right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any trouble with vitiligo, where you have it's a complete loss of pigmentation, where you might have like a patch of almost albino-looking skin?
No, not... Well, I do have some... Not really. I don't think it's that, but I have been to the dermatologist many times to have then spray a liquid nitrogen on my those little crusty places that are
like a nevi or keratosis or whatever.
Yeah, keratosis. Yeah. But and that leaves sometimes the white patches.
Are you taking any medicinal drugs right now?
Well, I do take medicinal drugs.
Anything for blood pressure?
No, I don't take blood pressure. I've been on Zoloft for 25 years.
Well, and by the way, I am not trying to embarrass you or to pry in your life at all. I'm just trying to see if I can connect the dots. The other question that I had, a lot of times if I see very persistent red, angry issues on the lower leg, I always think, okay, what's going on within the blood? And so sometimes the first place I'll look is the feet. If the skin around your heels is more prone to being dry and cracked, I've seen actually when I stand in line at I'll just say Walmart, hopefully that didn't offend anybody, they sell these cheese graters made for the feet where I've actually seen women in front of me get them and go, this looks like a good idea. I think I should buy this because I can grate down all the rough skin on my feet tonight. They don't really say that. I'm just kind of making it up in my mind when they buy them. But do you have really dry skin around your heels?
No more than anywhere else. I do have kind of dry skin all over.
Is there any chance that you might have some degree of a toenail fungus, and that would be where your toenail goes?
No, actually, they did a biopsy just a couple of weeks ago, and said that there's no fungus. It's not. It's not a fungus or anything like
that. But why did they do a biopsy? Is it because it was greatly thickened?
No, because it looks red and
You mean the toenail?
No, not the toenail.
We're back to the skin lesion, right?
Yeah, the skin.
Okay.
I do have one toenail or several toenails that are thick with that kind of a fungus inside.
Okay, well, that's what I was trying to ask. I just didn't get to the point quick enough. When you were younger, did you have a bad case of mono?
No, never have. I'll tell you what the doctor says that this is actually happening is that the blood circulation in the capillaries of the surface of the skin, when the blood goes through those tiny little places up near the surface, the blood doesn't circulate back into the vein. It gets little spots of blood that leaves iron.
Well, and that's one of the things. See, that's on one level you'd say your circulation is not what it should be, and that's kind of what I was getting toward.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you a couple ideas. I know this is going to sound nutty, but there's an herb called red root. It's just like the color red.
Okay.
And like root beer, ROOT.
Okay.
And so any time that you have these red patches that are just very unsightly and they're very annoying and you wish you didn't have to look at them, that are going up the leg, then you start thinking about there's got to be some congestion either in the blood or in the lymphatic system.
Yeah.
And if I just tried to oversimplify this, your heart is an amazing pump that pushes oxygen-rich blood and nutrients down to your leg. The venous system is a little bit different. Its job is to kind of massage and squeeze the blood back up to the heart, but then you have the lymphatic system. The lymphatic system is almost like it contains all the dishwashing detergent and water that scrubs everything clean so it tries to wash your cells.
Yeah.
But the herb called red root, I think the reason why it's called red root is when you cut it, it almost looks like the color of blood or red. But historically, it's always been used when a person has these red patches that won't go away. And so, if you were to, I mean, I don't see how there's any way that you could harm yourself. I mean, you're 79 years old. You're not gonna be upset with me if I can't promise or guarantee a cure to you. But I'm just thinking in terms of, my goodness, what can I do to help this young man? So red root is one of the things that I would look at. Now, the other thing that would be very intriguing to me is I have two ideas, and I realize this is a little bit nutty and wacky, which I know that surprises you coming from me because I'm so scientific. I never mention anything that's nutty or wacky.
Now, this red root, is it? Do you take it?
Yes, orally. Yes. And see, your lymphatic system, if you have, just to give you an idea, if you have 8 pints of blood that make up all the blood that's in your arteries and veins, I bet you anything you have exactly 24 to maybe 27 pints of what's called lymphatic fluid. Sometimes lymph fluid is called your white blood. It's identical to your blood, except it doesn't have the red blood cells. And so red root is a, well, it's just a plant-based medicine. It's like what was there in the Garden of Eden, or what was there after the Garden of Eden? Well, obviously, red root is a medicine.
You can get that as a capsule or a powder?
You can. My favorite, though, is going to be a liquid tincture, because I think you're going to have a more precise application. I just think I see a faster response from the liquid red root than I do from the powder.
Okay.
Or let me start over here. Everything that you could go and harvest for yourself right now to eat, you know it spoils in time, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But with a tincture, they can take the freshly prepared red root herb and they could macerate it or make a menstruum or do a cold percolation technique with alcohol, and they could get all the active ingredients from it, and it would be preserved for a long, long, long time in the alcohol.
Okay.
So if you don't have any problem with using alcohol to help dissolve and remove the active healing properties from the plant, I would personally want to go with something like the red root, where you might try 30 drops. Now, you know, the next thing I'm going to say is, I mean, I try to pay attention to every person that walks in my door to see what happens. And I might have 25 people that use this and they have no issues whatsoever, but I might have 1 out of 20 that says, "Dr. Morgan, I had just a little bit of loose bowel movements afterwards." So I'm not going to say that's uncommon, because your lymphatic system, that is the largest cleaning system in the body. It's probably so overlooked. So with this redness on your leg, I want to think about an herb called red root.
Yeah.
The other two things that I'm thinking of, they're just kind of popped in my mind. Just because they popped into my head doesn't mean that I'm right. I mean, if it doesn't work out, I don't think there's anything I can do to harm you. But if you were to go on a website called Amazon.com, you could type in the word ozonated olive oil or ozonated coconut oil. And this is simply where they try to infuse olive oil with a very rich concentration of oxygen and ozone. It's a very interesting proposition. So all they're doing is they're trying to super, super saturate olive oil or coconut oil with extra amounts of oxygen and ozone. And so all you can do is, if you want to buy a little tub of that, I think you can get like a pretty good tub for $15 to $20. And you could just have a test area where you put it on maybe part of that red lesion on your lower leg and just see what happens. See if it starts to calm down.
Okay.
But I'm more into trying to find ways to support your body toward healing.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that I... Now, is this mainly on your lower leg?
Yeah, mainly the lower leg. And the doctors say it, nobody's ever died from it, and they don't know what causes it, so there's no cure for it, and there's no money in running tests for it, because it's not that. It mainly happens to men also, very rarely to women.
They say it only happens to people that have a very, very fiery temperament, though. I'm joking. Do you still have red hair?
No, it's white. 79, it's been white for a
while.
Wait
a second, is your nickname Esau? I think he had red hair. Well, if you could try to rub some ozonate olive oil several times a day. The other thing that I really have in my mind, I've seen some pretty tough situations before where just applying raw honey to the area started to change it for the better. It enabled the immune system to rise to the occasion and promote healing and calming the whole thing down. So you can kind of play with that.
Yeah.
So that's something you can consider right there.
That's something I keep on hand all the time for breakfast.
Wait a second. Did I disturb your breakfast by talking about this? You can let your puppy dog can lick off the rest of it that drips on the floor, right?
Yeah, they're eager to do that.
Whatever. I heard them in the background.
Yeah.
What kind of dogs are they?
Chihuahuas. I have 5 little Chihuahuas.
Do they pretty much determine how your day's going to go every day?
They do. They take a lot of attention, and they make it known by their barking.
Well, if you will, just for your own curiosity, because I think that you're a very curious man and that you like information and knowledge. You're just like me. You and I are cut from the same cloth. If you want to type in Red Root and just read everything you want about it, just see if you're compelled to give it a shot, because God did design the body to heal, and the skin is absolutely the largest organ that you have in the body.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. So let's just look for some healing here and see what happens.
All right.
Well, I wish you the very best, my friend. Thanks for your phone call.
Thank you very much.
You're
Dr.
welcome.
Moore.
I'm glad you got in. Thanks, buddy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. I think I was talking about elderberry. Here's another study right here. Well, let's go to the phone lines. We'll come back to that. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Morgan. How are you doing today?
Good. Are you a redhead also?
No, I wish.
Oh.
I almost have no hair at all.
Well, tell me how I can help you today.
Well, I have the situation, like I say, when my hair is lately is falling a lot. I start having a big spot in my head that is clear now on a hair. Every time I brush my hair, I'm afraid everything is going to come out.
How long has this been going on?
Well, it was slowly happening, but now lately, like this last month, I'm losing a lot.
Can I give you some
ideas? Maybe? Yes.
All right, now,
please.
You're welcome to question anything that I say, but what I'm going to do is I'm just going to tell you from my experience. This could be an autoimmune reaction within your body. Now, just because I say that doesn't make it true. But what I would recommend is several things. Number one, the number one mineral that a woman needs to regenerate or grow hair is a mineral called iron. I'd say the second most common one is going to be called zinc. And then there's an element called silica. And one of the best ways to get silica is there's an herb called organic horsetail. So if you walk out to the forest and you see something that looks like a horsetail, like somebody's prancing a horse in a parade and that tail is arching and sticking up, that's called organic horsetail. The other herb that I'm in love with is called tillandsia. I'm going to try to spell that right here. Okay, tillandsia is spelled T-I-L-L-A-N-D-S-I-A. Tillandsia.
Tillandsia
root.
Yes, sir. Look, sorry to interrupt. I have a very hard time with allergies. All my life I have allergies, and now finally decided, okay, I enjoy it for long enough. Finally, I'm going to find out what's going on. And I'm taking a Sartec for my allergies, and then it wasn't helping. And it was like constantly sneezing, constantly running nose, regardless of the medicine. And sometimes it gets so bad that I need to be laid down for a day so I can try to sleep and take medicine to sleep, to rest, so my body can rest, because the allergies are so bad. So I decide to start trying to avoid things if they can help. I avoid to eat the pecans, that I love it, and then it was okay, and now affecting my allergies, I'm fine. I got a handful almonds, and then I eat it, and I was extremely sick in like an hour. In like an hour, I was extremely sick. And I try again with pecans, and I got extremely sick. And then so I start trying to find out by trying what food is helping. Right now I'm avoiding all 3 nuts. I'm avoiding all this stuff, peanut butter and all this stuff. But I still have my allergies. And then I try to control it. I try to find out what it is, because I'm trying to see what is limited in my food.
Do you eat bread or wheat?
I try not to eat so much wheat.
Well,
I'm trying to eat white bread.
I'm not sure what that means. Here's what I would just tell you. If I had 100 women with horrible hair loss, I would do my best to convince them to stop eating bread or wheat. I don't care if it's white bread or a cracker or a loaf of sourdough. Just don't eat it. It's the number one food that triggers hair loss in women.
Oh, okay. So, and then on top of that, I have my thyroid. It's a low working thyroid. And the doctor prescribed thyroid medicine. But they say, do not take my vitamins. Well, I went and buy a bottle of the zinc the last time I hear your radio show. Mm-hmm. I went and buy vitamin zinc. I'm going to buy some vitamins. And I stopped taking it. I went to the doctor and say, do not take these vitamins because they're going to contradict the medicine for my thyroid. I say, I don't want to be having these problems when my body don't have the nutrition. In the beginning, we have a lot of people that is malnutrition, not eating well, not resting well, a lot of stress, money issues. Mm-hmm. And everything that's going around, we don't have a proper rest. We working so hard. We don't eat correctly. We don't eat the healthy food. Lately more seeing what's going on in the food. There has so much stuff that's not good. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then I say, well,
what are we going to do?
Be the answer. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. What are we going to do about all this? Yeah.
Yeah. And then I'll be in the process of losing my job because our company lost our contract. So, yeah, there's a lot of stress. Mm-hmm. And I say, okay, what am I going to do? And all these health issues and all the stress, something has to give up.
Well, here's what you have to give up. If you will just focus your mind on eating vegetables and a little bit of meat, you're going to be 80% better in about 3 weeks. Don't eat any grains, don't eat any milk or dairy products, just eat vegetables and meat, a little bit of fruit. If you want to have cherries or blueberries or raspberries or blackberries or strawberries, that's fine. You've got to give your body a rest. And so, if you have all these allergies, you have a condition called leaky gut syndrome. Sometimes it's called hyperpermeable gut. The lining of your gut's kind of broken down and inflamed, so we're going to try to help it. Just eat 2 meals a day. Eat one large green salad a day. If it were me, I would have you drink dandelion tea every day if you want to start cleaning your blood and cleaning your body of all the toxins. It's a gift from...
I'm sorry, sir. I had the issue that feel all the time tired. I know the phrase sounds so funny, that I'm tired to be tired, and I'm exhausted to be tired.
Well, we have to find a starting point for you where you can start to turn this around, because you need to have extremely high energy levels and to be radiant and strong and free of allergies. And so you can always consider what I'm telling you. If you can start drinking dandelion tea, we've got to start cleaning your blood and your liver and your kidneys and a lot of the toxic debris just from the drugs that you're taking. For all I know, you didn't have the hair loss until you started taking the anti-allergy medication.
Another one that worried me is the thyroid medicine that I have to take.
Well, we got to have a starting point. So consider only eating meat and vegetables. Have one green salad a day, because that way you can start to get an incredible amount of minerals, and your body needs minerals to make all the chemical and enzyme reactions that bless you and benefit you take place. If you start drinking dandelion tea or maybe rose hips tea, you'll start to get better.
What I can find, also, you mentioned something in the last show, a couple of shows ago, about sulfur molasses.
Yes, that's right. In through your mouth?
No. Yeah, right. Okay. No, I'm thinking about what kind of dose, how it's actually being administered.
You could take just a spoonful, stirred in a warm cup of tea, and drink it down.
Okay.
And that would be very easy for you. But that is very good for the hair.
Very good. So we're talking zinc, we're talking magnesium, we're talking unsulfur molasses.
Yes, exactly. Yes, exactly. All those things. If you do not like what you've got right now, then you have some options. You think to yourself, okay, In order for me to overcome my severe allergies and my extreme fatigue and my exhaustion and my lack of rest and the poor sleep and I don't know what to do with my life, well, you either keep doing what you're doing or you say, you know what? Today I'm going to wipe the slate clean. I'm going to start over. Maybe instead of drinking, coffee and tea all day long, I'll drink some herbal teas where they can start gently clean my body and they can build my strength back. And so if you stop eating wheat, now I know you're going to tell me that you just eat a little bit of it. It's not that big of a deal. You can say whatever you want. I've been doing this for 30 years now. If your hair's coming out, you eat all the wheat you want, but there's no way on God's green earth your hair's going to grow back if you keep eating it. So I need to let you decide that for yourself. And so you've got
what
all the...
When they say wheat that was good for you?
I'm telling you to stop eating wheat if you want your hair to grow back.
Yes, sir. What about the oatmeal?
I'm going to recommend vegetables and meat.
All right. You got it.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate
it.
That's all right. Appreciate it. That's all right.
I got so many questions, man.
I know.
I apologize for that.
No apologies necessary. Bye-bye. Okay. If you decide that you want to improve your health, it's unbelievable the amount of resources you have. I think I told a person the other day that came to see me that had Parkinson's disease. I said, hey, did you know that back in the 80s, that was my research topic or thesis for a neurology class when I was in college? And man, it took me 3 months to get my paper done because I had to go down to the library and I had to look at these books. I know you have no idea what I'm talking about. It just doesn't even make a lick of sense because today I could type in Parkinson's disease. And within about 1 nanosecond on the screen, I could have 1.2 billion articles. And I'm going, oh my word. I'm telling you folks, there's no excuse. Information is so easy to come by. You can study, you can apply yourself, you can learn anything you want if you want to. But if you do not like the way that your health is going, you got to start thinking in terms of, A, is there something that I'm consuming or taking that's interfering completely with the health of my body? You know, and sometimes, you know, when the hair starts falling out, why can't you just take a step back and say, oh my goodness, am I taking a drug that might have just the normal side effect of making my hair fall out? I know they call these side effects, but folks, it's nothing more than just the normal effect of taking the drug that your hair starts falling out. It's really just as simple as that. So you either keep doing what you're doing or you take a step back and say, okay, is there any way that I can improve the quality of the food and the nutrients that I'm consuming? If you start eating vegetables, a little bit of fruit, if you can go to stores like the Granary, Natural Grocer, Whole Health, start getting meat that's free of antibiotics and chemicals. You don't have to compare yourself with anybody else. If you want to be radiant and healthy, then there are things that you need to do to ensure that you're going to have great health. What if you just don't like the level of health that you have? Well, this is a starting point. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Let me see if I can find page 201 right here because I was looking up the research on this. Okay, here's one right here. Okay, where is it? In a randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled study in Norway, researchers gave 60 patients who had been suffering from influenza-like symptoms for less than 48 hours. This is a different one. Either 15 milliliters of elderberry syrup or a placebo 4 times a day. On the average, oh yeah, I read this one already. Never mind. Okay, scratch that one. That was just the idea. They gave them a little bit of elderberry syrup and they got completely over the flu 4 days sooner than those that didn't. Oh my goodness. You know, let me go off on this topic just for a second here. If you're sick, Maybe you have cancer. Maybe you have an infection. Maybe you have a broken bone that just will not heal. It will not fuse together and it won't mend. What if you've got this eruption on your skin and it just won't clear up? What if your brain on an MRI is showing that you have significant atrophy and the doctor says, hey, that's just normal, you're getting older? What if you have aches and pains that never resolve themselves? You have got to set your mind like Flint, that you are going to do something every single day to help your immune system. There's no other plan that works. There's no such thing as a part-time solution when somebody has stage 4 cancer, or they have advanced diabetes, or even a mild case of diabetes. Unless you're doing something every single day to help yourself, your body's going to break down a lot faster than what it would otherwise. And yes, all these things involve discipline, but, you know, that's just something that you're given as a gift from God. You're given this physical body. Is it going to last forever? No, it's not. But what if you could be productive and you could bless other people and many generations of great-grandchildren and so forth if you live to be 95 years of age and you still have your wits about you? You know what's not uncommon for me? I can go in the nursing home facility here in Jacksonville. I can find people in their late 40s and early 50s that are basically bedfast because they've had strokes and they don't have any family and there's no one to take care of them. Yeah, there's a few people that come by to visit them from church, but they're kind of on their own. I think they almost become wards of the state because they don't have any earthly wealth where they can afford great treatments. I remember one man I went to go visit named Fred. He laid on his side for 3 months with a stroke and no one gave him a lick of therapy. What do you think that does to the body when you don't get any physical therapy to regain the ability to move your arms and your legs that have been paralyzed? It's devastating. You never recover from things like that. I wish I could say that, you know, this only happens to people that are old, but I don't think that 48's old. I don't even think 62's old. I sure don't think 55 is old. There may be a reason why I'm saying that. Alrighty. Okay. Where's my other study right here? Well, you know, just in simplicity, what would be wrong if you're a mother or a father and you have young children and you kept a supply in the house of elderberry syrup? The stuff is just downright delicious. Kids will take it easily. And plus, you're very creative. You can find an easy way to get inside of them. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Morning. Hey, I was talking about the guy who, a couple of calls ago, who's 79, I think, has the rash on his skin. I'm 70. A few weeks ago, I got a rash on my skin just like that on my forearms, and I just started spraying with 3% hydrogen peroxide, and it started going away immediately.
Who do you think you are talking about some crazy therapy like hydrogen peroxide?
Yeah, I use it for everything.
Well, that's great. That's great news. So just 3% hydrogen peroxide, right?
Yeah, it starts going away immediately.
Well, what'd you do? Did you pour it in a spray bottle?
Yeah, I keep it on hand. Use the food grade hydrogen peroxide, put in all my water for me and all my animals. I do animal rescue.
You know what the thing of it is? This is just an oxygen therapy, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they cool. Cannot get a disease. They have the most beautiful skin, and they do not ever have to have their teeth cleaned. I never think about brushing my teeth because the oxygen.
Now, back up. Did you say you spray this on your animals?
No, I give it in their water.
Okay. So
if they do get a skin disease, a rash or something, I spray it on, it goes away immediately. But I rarely have to use the 3% on their skin. I just
what kind of animals do you have?
Dogs, kitty cats, and eventually I hope the Lord will let me rescue horses. But that I don't have the money for that.
No, you're telling me if a dog has like a scab or a cut or scrape on the skin, you just spray it with the hydrogen peroxide and it goes right away, right?
Yeah, and if it's just a skin lesion, I don't even have to spray it. If they get a cut or something, the oxygen in their water prevents, in their system prevents.
How much do you put in their drinking water?
It's about 3/8 of 1%. It's I use the 35% hydrogen, food grade hydrogen peroxide, and that's 9 drops. That's the equivalent of 9 drops per 8 ounces. It's 3/8 of 1%, 0.375.
Do they have like a bowl that they drink out of?
Yeah, I put it in. I've got buckets. I use either anywhere from gallon and a half. I mean, 3.5 gallon buckets cut down the blue 55 gallon drums, and so they're in the, the 3.5 gallons. It takes an ounce and a half.
So you're talking about like a little over, like a couple of capfuls of it?
Yeah, and as I say, in the 3.5 gallon buckets, it's an ounce and a half in the third of a blue 55 gallon blue drum. I put in 7 ounces.
So no, what I was curious about.
But it works out about, as I say, about nine drops. Or 8 ounces of water.
But that's 35% hydrogen peroxide, right?
Yeah. Okay. Starting with that, and it works out to about the concentration is 3/8 of 1%. When I first started using it, I had I've got two bad knees and I had a hip that I was using. Mm-hmm. 2 jars of blue emu a week on my hip, just to. And I started using 12 drops per 8 ounces, and within 12 hours, the first day I started taking it, within 12 hours it took all the pain out of my head.
Oh, that's impressive. Wow.
Yeah, I quit buying the blue emu, because it only costs pennies a day for the hydrogen peroxide.
More like half of a penny, maybe.
yeah, it's extremely cheap, and I used the 12 ounces, I mean the 12 drops, equivalent, which is 1/2 of 1%, for about a year and a half. But it gives you so much energy. I got to it had healed everything as much as it could, as far as my joints and everything. And
I mean,
after about a year and a half,
could, but you still have
energy.
Some.
I couldn't get to sleep when I was really tired, so I had to take down to 9 drops per 8 ounces. But it gives you lots of energy and makes you really alert when you wake up. You're totally alert when.
So these animals, they go ahead and just lap up the water. They don't think twice, do they?
No. They don't even think about it.
Oh man, what a great story! I'm so glad you called. That's great.
Yeah, it's a huge difference for them. They there's so many benefits to it.
What is the largest dog you've ever rescued?
Well, I've got one now. She's a mama dog, and he's probably at least 17 or 18. She could be older. I rescued when she had her puppies in 12 here. Oh seven, and they're 12 now. And,
oh wow!
They're young as everything. And I had no sense of her being young at all. She could easily have been 5 or 6 or older when she had her babies. So she's, I think she's 17, 18 at least, and she's doing great. She's kind of amazing. But she has a personality where she'll always be young. She'll never be old.
Oh, that's great. I know you love your animals. That's just wonderful.
Yeah, they're great. They're all different. They're all a gift. They all have their own person, just like people. They have their own personality and own benefits. And
has anybody ever called you and said, I have an Arctic wolf that I need you to take in?
No, I wouldn't mind it. I had a German Shepherd. She looked like a wolf. She had a face like a wolf. She had a brindle coat.
She was unusual. Beautiful, wasn't she?
Yeah, she lived to be 16, and she was a great, great puppy dog. If anybody's had a German Shepherd, you know they have a great vocabulary. They
Well, I just love that you called this morning and you told us about the hydrogen peroxide. I think it's great.
Yeah, simple and cheap.
Hey, it is cheap, and God made it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, thank you for your phone call, and I wish you the best. Hope you have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, if you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line open. We've got a few minutes left. 903-586-5257. I don't think you can find a remedy that becomes more simplified and inexpensive than hydrogen peroxide. That's awesome. I think I had to push the button about five times to make it work. Welcome to the program.
Yes. I am calling recently. I lost a nephew who was very dear to me, and it just seems like I don't have any energy. Do you have something that might help me get over the hump of that sadness?
Yes. Now, this is just an idea.
Okay.
There is a flower that grows, they think it started in China, but it's called the rose. And right now they have so many varieties. I went to the bookstore one day and I was looking up all the varieties on the rose. There's more than you can shake a stick at. But so here's a couple things that you can try just to see if it helps you overcome all that. You could try rubbing rose oil.
Okay.
On your face and on your neck and on your arms. And you could do that several times a day.
Okay.
There's a type of a tea called rose hips tea, and you can actually get that organically.
Okay.
So when the rose actually forms a flower or blossom, if it runs its life cycle or its course, those rose petals, they begin to just drop and fall off. Let's just say maybe not now, but closer toward wintertime. And there's this little bitty oblong ball the size of a big bean that grows underneath the rose, and that's called the hip. That's where the seeds, and so that's eventually how the rose is going to recreate or propagate itself. But they make a tea where they grind those rose hips up, and all you do is just pour hot water over it. And if you'll start sipping on rose hips tea and rubbing rose oil on, see if that doesn't change the sadness of your heart for the better.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I'll give it a try.
Well, you've got nothing to lose. Thank you so much for your call, ma'am.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye-bye. I think some of that information came from a study that I read. And in this study, they had individuals that suffered horribly from PTSD or post-traumatic stress disorder. The truth is, this world can be a very, very rough, difficult place. There's wolves around every corner. I asked a man the other day, I said, how many crooks are there in Dallas? He said, only a million. Oh, well, I think I asked him about con men. There's only a million. They will always try to steal what you have. Anyway, enough of that. I'm very thankful to be with you today on the radio. Thank you for listening to this radio station, KBJS, and Lord willing, I will be with you this time next week.